This is Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hanat Baba. Our first story comes to us from the Litography Project.
Ah, the Litography Project!
Shh! Your guide to the literary Bay Area.
If you're reading a good book these days, here's a question for you. Are you reading it on a Kindle or a Nook? Or are you actually reading a book, a paper book? And if you are, where'd you buy it? As many bookstores have shut down in recent years, today we have a few tips on how your bookstore can stay alive. This is your guide to survival. Number one, stock what your customers want. Someone wants Pigeon Lofts of North America? Have it. Number two, stock what your customers don't know they want and show it to them. And number three, don't be just a bookstore. That's the recipe for success, according to KALW's Holly J. McDeed. She developed it while wandering through San Francisco's bookstores and asking politely, "Why aren't you dead yet?" She brings us this story.
San Francisco has always been a town of bookworms. In the old days, if you wanted to open a store, all you had to do was put books in the window, hang a sign, open the doors.
And people would come in and we'd talk books and we'd talk book people. And it was a vibrant, exciting time.
And that was only 15 years ago, when Joe Marchione opened Valhalla Books in the Mission. It's kind of a miracle people even found his store. To get inside, customers have to walk through a paint shop or get buzzed in, and then go up two flights of stairs, past the construction, and follow the signs to Valhalla's jumbled collection.
I tell people when they come in, the chance you're going to find something, very slim.
Great sales pitch.
It is, but a lot of the fun is in the looking.
The joy of browsing used to give bookstores an edge over Amazon, but these days, the invitation to browse doesn't seem to be enough. Over the last two decades, half the country's independent bookstores have closed. There's a booming market for new and used books online, and ebooks now account for close to a quarter of all book sales. So, these days, Joe Marchione has a lot of downtime.
I can sit in here for days and have maybe one or two browsers per day. There are days when nobody comes in.
With San Francisco rent skyrocketing and more book nerds buying online, Marchione is discovering that bookstores can't just be bookstores anymore. If he wants to survive, he's got to adapt. Take his former neighbor, Adobe Books. Last year, Adobe's owner announced his rent was going up 20%, and he was likely to close his doors. But fans of the store stepped in to save the day. Adobe's new home is on 24th Street. Brett Lockspizer is a member of the Adobe Collective, and he was part of the campaign to save the bookstore. He begged strangers for $60,000 on an Indiegogo campaign video.
So I sort of have always seen this place as more than just a bookstore.
And in 1 month, the campaign raised even more than they were hoping for.
Your support here can be the difference that allows for this transition and keeps Adobe Books open.
But to stay alive, Lockspizer knew Adobe would have to change. Under the old guard, Adobe was messy. It was a scavenger hunt. There were too many old, unsellable books. Now they have to act like business people.
You know, some people find this a little controversial, but we, as a co-op, kind of felt like the business could do better if the quality of the books in the shop was actually higher. And the old shop had a lot of things that just frankly weren't that interesting and were sort of taking up space.
Lockspizer and his crew cleared out most of the old books and filled their smaller storefront with pop-up shops selling coffee and magazines. The backroom art gallery became a separate nonprofit. They shrank staff to two and filled in the gaps with volunteers. They added new books, and they carefully curated their used selection.
The sales at the old Adobe had been going down year after year. So that was actually a case where we were surprised. Even after our first few months, we were seeing that we were doing much better than expected in that category.
They're still not turning a profit, but hey, they are paying the bills.
The hope is that there are going to be new models that can kind of come up.
And there are some thriving examples. Weirdly, Green Apple Books has been expanding since it opened in San Francisco's Richmond District in 1967. While Amazon swallowed other bookstores whole, Green Apple added a mezzanine, a second floor, and acquired its neighbor, Revolver Records. Then in August, it opened a second store.
I can't find anything. Haha! Okay.
To Casey Shabazz, the new store feels different. The original store has the dank, rustic feel of an old paperback. The new store has got the shine and sparkle of a new hardcover.
It's, like, new and bright and, like, ah! But other Green Apple is like, I'm in a sad cave, but I like it.
Co-owner Peter Mulville sees his store's success as a mystery.
We have something like 450 or 500 people a day on average who buy something from us, you know, that many transactions. And if it's 500, it's great. If it's 400, we're screwed and we're out of business. Who those people are and why they decided to come that day instead of last week or next week, or if they come three times a year, but this year now it's four, or, you know, I just have no idea.
Last year, students at California College of the Arts did a study on Green Apple Books to investigate their secret. The report is pages and pages long, but what it comes down to is that they know their customers.
The idea that, you know, you see the same people in your community every day, that, oh, you know, my kids went to preschool with the owner of Green Apple.
They know their customers, and they know what their customers want. So they'll stock, say, the cheese manual.
It takes 2 or 3 years for us to sell through them, but it's the cheese book and we want to have it, you know. It doesn't really pay off in money, but it pays off in what the customer thinks of the store.
And they don't loll about on their sofas waiting for customers to come inside. They work with other businesses, help host block parties, and you can find their books in cafes and shops nearby.
We like to take chances and take risks, and sometimes they pay off.
Back at Valhalla Books, Marchone may be lounging on the couch reading. Now that customers are few and far between, he's got the time to. Sure, he could put the book down, get up, and save his bookstore. There are remedies. He just doesn't want to try them.
I'm not so good at saying, at grabbing people and say, come to my Facebook page and look at that. I'm uncomfortable selling things, which is an odd thing for a retailer to say, but it's true. And that's foolish, because you got to sell people in this world. That's the way it is. So one of the things that I have to get better at is learning how to sell without totally compromising my soul. There's got to be a way.
No one said compromise was easy. In San Francisco, I'm Holly J. McDeed.
We'd love to hear what tips you have for keeping a bookstore alive. Add yours by calling us at 415-264-7106. That's 415-264-7106. And find more stories about the literary world in the Bay at kalw.org. Click on Litography.